You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. It's a Meat Friday at that. Get to phone calls here. Settle on a poll question. Sunday night, by the way, the Broncos head to Kansas City to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. An AFC West showdown. That might be a stretch. AFC West battle. That would be a stretch. How about an AFC West game?
Games.
Yeah,
that's more accurate.
Just a game. Sunday night, 7 Eastern, only on NBC.
Two teams that happen to be in the same division are playing each other.
Yeah, I like how, you know, the PR department, they want to dress things, you know, these up. Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in a big show. I would love to hear the person who's voicing this actually do it and say, and it'll be a showdown between Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City.
Whoever's quarterbacking.
Yeah, against... Well, it's not really a showdown. It'll be a battle. It's not really a battle. It's just a game. We hope you'll watch on Sunday night on NBC.
No love lost between those two teams.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Paulie.
That'd be great if you had honest promos on NFL games. The Broncos hope to keep this interesting for a quarter or two. Tune in for if you can.
Didn't we do honest PA announcer when...
We were in Houston at the All-Star game, and it was the Home Run Derby, and we were sitting in by ourselves with folding chairs. And I think Salisbury is with us, and you, for about an hour and a half, did honest PA announcer with each guy at the Home Run Derby. Unfortunately, we can't say everything.
Not
that
for
you said,
air.
But man,
not for air. Yes.
This guy has been juicing so much, you could see his thighs popping out of his uniform. Say hello to blank, blank.
This guy's name looks like it should be pronounced Geoff. It's...
This guy won't come on the Dan Patrick Show ever because of me.
Yeah.
This is...
Alex, wait. Who was the other one? The PA announcer in Houston, this was Home Run Derby. And he said, and now batting Miguel Tejeda. Tejeda. And I went, it's Miguel Tejada.
Tejeda.
Tejeda. But if you say it in a way that sounds like you know what you're talking about, then I go, oh, my gosh, I've been saying Tejada all these years. Miguel Tejeda. Tejeda.
Craig Biggio.
All righty. Scott Hansen, who has been the host of NFL Network's NFL Red Zone for quite some time. 200 episodes coming up this week, and they'll celebrate their 200th episode.
That pales in comparison to what you did at SportsCenter.
Yeah, but
like 10.
I mean, he works once a week. I mean, why are they celebrating this? I mean, Scott does a great job, but it's once a week.
It's a stretch, you're saying. That's that.
Well, I'm cranking every night on SportsCenter.
All hours of the night, too.
Yeah.
You get out at a decent hour after the football show's over, like, you know, late afternoon, early evening, or whatever, once the 4 o'clock games are over.
I mean, I'm not counting how many shows I've done here 5 days a week. Do we have to celebrate just going to work?
It's nice for morale, I think, to have milestones of accomplishments, even if what you did with 2,000 makes 200 look like, you know, nothing much.
And, you know, I got to 2,000. Who knows how many I did after that? But it was nice. They gave me a trophy. It's actually on the back bar. They gave me 2,000, and then it's got a microphone there. I mean, it's nice, but I said, I'm not here for awards. I'm just here to entertain a nation.
So you gave the awards back because they were meaningless to you.
No, they wouldn't take it back. You know, I tried to send it back and they said, no, you've earned it. And I said, did I really? 2,000 sports entertainment points.
Yeah, and Linda Cohen passed you at least 5 or 6 years ago.
I don't know about that. I don't. I know.
That's what the PR department says.
Oh, I know. Well, they're not going to let me have the record.
Linda Cohen is kind of like the Frank Gore of SportsCenter anchor. She's a compiler. She's there every year doing fine work every year.
There's something to be said for longevity. I don't know why we have to make a joke.
Thank you, Todd, for your Linda Cohen impersonation. Yeah, 2,000 or so, but who's counting?
Probably you.
No. I didn't want to count because then it would be like, oh, my God. I've done the same thing. How many I did?
I can find out how many you did and probably find out generally what the numbers are. If you
no,
want
no,
to
I don't want
do
to
a deep dive.
No.
Is that the don't do it, Paulie, wink?
Go no, ahead and do no, it, no, no wink. It. Now, do I get credit when I went back with Oberman for the 40th?
Yes.
Okay, I get credit for that. Do I get credit
for your appearance with Van Pelt? You didn't co-host, so you were a guest.
But I carried that SportsCenter. Yes, Todd.
But you're a big numbers person. Wouldn't it bother you if you found out that you were at 2499 or 2749 and you didn't have a nice round number where you could just go back there and do one more and just kind of be able to circle that number?
No, I think I would do sort of like Barry Sanders' approach. I think Barry ended up with 99 career touchdowns. He didn't need to go back and get 100. I'm sort of that same kind of guy. Like, you know, you just do the numbers, you just do the show. Like, okay, it's for others to celebrate. But I did love that every time there was an anniversary show, every single time on ESPN, it was Sunday night at 11 o'clock. It just happened to time out that the 25,000th Sports Center, and it's Sunday night at 11 o'clock.
It's not possible that it just lined up that way every time.
Wouldn't it be great if they did like a 8 a.m. on a Tuesday and it's the 25,000th Sports Center? Yes, Paulie.
Well, they're not going to have the 3,000th and 2nd Sports Center Sunday night. You know, they can't really tease that.
No, I know. Somehow it was always on a Sunday night. All right. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can. It's 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @TPShow. Now, I am curious about a couple of games this weekend. Ohio State, Michigan State. Because then, are we going to have Ohio State, Michigan the following week? And what kind of team performance are we going to see from Ohio State? A&M and Auburn, Clemson, Virginia Tech, but BYU Coastal Carolina, to me, is the game to watch. And I never thought that I would ever say this, but I'm going to say this. BYU Coastal Carolina is more must-see than Alabama and LSU. LSU is a 29.5-point underdog. Nick Saban will be back for that game. The NFL has reinstated Josh Gordon again. And we'll see what he can do this time around with the Seahawks. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. If you want to know what we have fired up on the Traeger grill, the official description is, I think it's a muffaletta pinwheel steak with a balsamic reduction. But that will be for Todd and myself because Paulie is not here and Seton and McLovin are not here.
And there's like 7 or 8 of them at least waiting to be put on the grill for very few people.
Yep. And it's crisp here. We're going to have a fire. I got 3 Traegers fired up here. It's great to be here in the man cave. Yes, Paulie.
But Dan, what if I said you have to eat that lovely lunch, but you have to sit there for an hour with Todd at a table by yourself just conversating?
That kind of ruins it a little bit for you. You're going to get it to go, I think.
If my mouth is full, I don't have to say anything.
Just put it in a bag and take it back to the house and kick back, go down to the basement, put whatever you want to watch on it, a movie, Netflix, and then you don't have to deal with me and my annoying questions.
No, because I am really, like, I came in this morning and my mindset was Todd and I are really going to get to know each other.
That lasted for about 20 seconds.
Because I said to him, hey, Todd. And he goes, hey. And I said, what are you doing this weekend? And then he said nothing.
And I asked you what you were doing this weekend.
And then I said nothing. And then that was it. We were done. And I went, I don't have anything else to talk to Todd about.
Why is that? Is it because we've been working together so long? Or we're just very different? Or you just don't find me particularly interesting?
Should I
read into this now?
No, I don't want you to do that. I mean, I find you fascinating, but not somebody I want to have a conversation with.
Wow. That sounds terrible.
No, but I love you, but I don't like you.
I don't know what to make of that. That just seems very hurtful.
Yeah, that's on a Friday.
Wait, but I gave you the love. God. I gave you the love.
I don't like you. That's gonna simmer for a couple of days.
I don't like...
A weekend's officially over. I might as well just sit here in this chair until Monday morning based on that comment. I'm not going home. I'm just going to stay here. I'll miss the wife and kids, but I'm going to have to just sit here and deal with that till Monday at about 7 a.m.
All right. Well, then there's no reason for me to try to describe why I said that.
I would like to know.
No, no. Nah, don't worry.
I love you, but I don't like you.
Don't. Todd, I love you. But I don't like you.
Well, I can't do small talk
it's
with
like that
you.
That kid that you're upset with. Like, it's one of your kids. Like, I love you. You're my kid. But, you know, the way you've been behaving lately, I'm just not liking being around you.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that happens. Right. It happens with my son.
I'm experiencing that with my son, like, now, since he's back from college.
Yeah, get used to it. Yeah.
I love him, but, like, he's picked up a couple of bad habits, and he's got a little bit of an attitude that I could do without.
Yeah, okay. So now you understand.
All right.
You love your son, but at times you don't like him.
All right. I guess I can deal with that.
Yeah, that's all.
You know what happened the first time I came home from college? I went to West Virginia in August and I came back for Christmas and I stayed for a week. And when my dad dropped me off, there was a kid on campus who was giving me a ride back from New Jersey back to Morgantown. And when my dad dropped me off, the last things he said to me was, "This is the worst week of my life." Jeez. And then he sent me back to Morgantown. Patrick, yeah, this was the worst week of my life. See you later.
Yeah, Paulie.
But Dan, I think you know about this. At the home, you know, your wife threw a frying pan at one of your children, and I think one of
mom hit my brother with a frying pan. My Good wife egg. Threw eggs at my son.
That's it.
Yeah, bounced three of them off his forehead. Still, one of the great moments in parental history. He was there whining. We had three daughters, and my wife's trying to get breakfast on the table, and he wanted some special eggs. And she said, "Oh, here are your eggs." Boom, off the forehead. Boom, off the forehead. And another one off the forehead. Yes, Todd.
At what point is it okay for a kid to reach out to law enforcement where they really feel like, I'm getting hit with a pan here? Like, there's abuse, that, with couples, there's abuse of kids, too. Belts and things come out.
That was different. That was a different time. That's back in the 60s when...
The good old days.
Yeah, when you could get away with that. My mom would let us pick out the switch from the tree that we were going to get spanked with. That's awful. Your corporal punishment, and then you'd have to go outside, and then there was a tree, and then my mom would say, pick the switch, and you're like... I don't know which one is going to hurt less, but I'd grab one, and it didn't matter. Yeah, Seton.
I was going to say that just to defend my father for a minute. It's because he said that because I made life completely miserable for him for that one week.
Oh, we know.
Yeah. So it's on me for sure.
Oh, yeah, I understand what your dad was probably thinking
just
or going
to clarify. Yes. It may have been justified.
Yeah. But McLovin was never like this. He had an idyllic silver spoon in his mouth, the suburbs of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, where did Seton grow up? I don't think we were all in the suburbs, weren't we? Anybody grow up in the city here? Paulie might have.
Just till I was about five, I was in Chicago.
All righty. What's poll question today, McLovin? Yes.
But I had one comment. Did Todd really think that you liked him, by the way? Because that would be like crazy.
I was misinformed. He put on a good act for almost 20 years.
What? Really, there isn't a single listener to the Dan Patrick Show who's surprised by that. But anyway, to the poll, most likely upset of this week.
No, but every time I do this, then people are like, "You're so hard on Fritzy."
And rightfully so. They should get in on that.
No, they shouldn't. No. If they knew the backstory... All the conversations and everything that we've talked about I'm here for Todd. Always be here for
you,
Todd.
You are a therapist as much as anything else.
Yes, and I didn't sign up for that.
You did not.
But I'm willing to do that. Yes.
Still getting the meds right. We'll figure it out.
Yes.
This actually all makes perfect sense, though, because not only are we, most of us, on remote and you're stuck in the studio alone with Todd.
Yeah.
But it's also this time of year that these kinds of conversations usually happen, usually pre-Christmas break. This is where we start diving deep into the psyche of each other and be like, "Well, you do this wrong, or I can't stand you, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah. Well, we haven't had many days off, and we've been together with the pandemic. So I think after a while... I mean, it's like a band, when you're together and you're doing everything together and you're with each other for 6-7 hours a day, at some point you're going to get, tired of dealing with things, small things. Small things become larger things.
So we're getting these parting shots out in the final weeks of December before the break.
No, but once again, I love you. I just don't always like you. That's all.
Okay.
I wish you the best. I just don't want you around when things are going well for you.
No, when things are going well, I love Todd being around, but there are just times when I would say, "Hi, maintenance, how are you?" Like that would be probably my best description
of
you.
You have some issues with me, and which I don't really have a good retort back.
Well,
to
what happens is that we've had these discussions, and then you repeat the same things that we're trying to fix.
You're talking about on the air or just lifestyle or all of it?
All of it.
All of it. The whole ball of wax.
Like all I said to you is, I want you healthy. That was so important to me. I want you healthy.
And then I said, I wonder if I should have two or three muffalettas.
Because I'll say, I want you to walk 3 miles a day.
I have been doing a lot of walking.
Drink one. I know, but you'll say, well, I haven't been doing as much. Like, you always do that. And then I'm going, this isn't for me, it's for you. And then I get frustrated with that because I want you healthy.
And what happens is you go, if you walk enough, you develop an appetite and then you have like a big sub and like it really kind of cancels out the walk a little bit. It's like I just had like 7 slices of pizza because I walked 3 miles. I'm hungry. And I do appreciate you, even though you don't like me that much.
So you appreciate me. I love you.
Right. I love you too, but like you don't like me. And it's still ringing in my ear, the not liking me part. Even though you have every right to not like me.
Once again, it's you just said you love your son, but you don't like him sometimes.
Right.
You're like a son to me.
I think he's got 1 foot out the door already. He's only been home like a week and a half, and he's counting the days, and he's going to be home till like late January. And I just get the impression that like he's outgrown his family and wants to be back at school with his boys.
He finally just got a couple months break from you, Todd, and now he's thrown back in. He's terrible. Alone in the studio with you too, and he's like, damn, I gotta get the hell out of here.
This is what happens. It's not healthy for anybody.
I was just informed we brought up McSorley's pub in the East Village in New York, and I wondered if it was the oldest pub in New York, maybe the oldest in the United States. And the Ear Inn is older than McSorley's. And then I just had a friend who said that there is a place, Boston's Union Oyster House, has the longest streak of continuous operation, opened in 1826, never closed. And he says that at McSorley's, you're always uncomfortable because the booths were so small. That's when they were probably, you know, seating the average person who was 5'6". But McSorley's would have this cheese plate with their beer. They'd make their own beer. And then it would be onions, cheese, and crackers. And then there was one bathroom there. And they used to have a motto, like, it was basically no women up until 1970, I think. Yeah, Paulie.
There was this bar. I used to live in Brooklyn in Park Slope. And I cannot remember the name of it, but when you stood by the bar, it had like a little valley on the ground underneath, like a little copper, almost like a, you know, a drain.
A latrine.
And back in the day, it was a men's only pub. And when they wanted to go to the bathroom, they went right there and it just drained on out.
I experienced that firsthand in Vegas, where a guy that I was with was on an unbelievable roll playing blackjack. And like he had been there, I'd gone, gotten drinks because I didn't play. I just watched. And I said, man, Tom, you haven't gotten up. He goes, no, I just pee right here. And I went, wow, what? He goes, no, people do that where they just don't want to get up. They're on a roll. And I went, all right. Have you guys ever heard of that? Where somebody is, they sit there for hours, 8 hours, and they don't want to get up.
Dyson diapers.
Man, I know. Yes, McLovin.
Well, isn't that when you took us to Wrigleyville, there were a bunch of dudes who came up to us in diapers at the Cubs game.
That's true. But that was also when a guy jumped in the trough at Wrigley in the urinal, and they were paying him. And we're out in center field, and the guy, they were collecting money for this guy to jump into this huge trough.
So disgusting.
Yes. Yeah, Paulie.
And the troughs at Wrigley Field are very long. They got to be 40 feet long. And before the game, they're nice. They're spotlessly clean. By the fourth inning, you wouldn't want to even touch anything in there with your elbow.
You don't even want to go buy it.
Ugh.
You'll hold it. All right, coming up, I guess we're supposed to make a big deal out of Scott Hansen with 200 episodes.
200, that's how you have to say it. You got 200, episodes.
That's a good year for me at SportsCenter.
All right, really? It's not about you. It's about our guest.
No, it'll be great. He does a great job, by the way. And then Nick Wright will join us on loan from Fox Sports First Things First a little bit later on as well. We get to phone calls. Are we staying with the same poll question, McLovin?
Yeah, I actually put up most likely upset of week 13, and it's not the game that you said. That came in second.
Okay.
I can save who the most likely upset of week 13.
By the way, we're having muffaletta steak, and that, in case you're wondering, that is salami, capicola, gabagool, mortadella, prosciutto, provolone, and olive salad.
You got to say it like Tony Soprano, but I know you've never seen this one. He used to go gabagool. He used to really get into that word on the show.
Gabagool.
Gabagool.
Gabagool. Yeah. So that's what the, I didn't know what a muffaletta was, but that's what's inside the stuffed steak that Todd and I will have. And the other Danettes will not.
If you could stand eating next to me.
No, because we know that's an issue too.
Yeah. Are we talking about the bathroom thing?
No, the soup.
Oh, the soup. I eat loud.
Oh.
No, Todd, you chew with your mouth open, and it's not just soup. It's literally every single thing.
Oh, now we're all just going to pile on. Let's get it all out there.
Whether it's a cough drop or it doesn't matter. Literally the entire studio can hear.
Dan, Fritzy had a sandwich the other day, and on the Zoom thing when we're talking during the breaks, Fritzy was housing this sandwich. And seeing, are you seeing this? I'm like, I'm not seeing it. It's front row.
So this is where we're at now.
Oh, it's, you know, I've had some decent lines in my career. But one of my favorite lines ever is when we were at dinner that night and you had lobster bisque and you're just going to town on it.
It was really good.
You're going, and then I said, how's the soup? And you were like, it's really good. And I said, it sounds good. And then it took you about 5 seconds.
I was
to go,
on delay a little bit. Once you took me out of delay, I'm like, oh, that was a shot. I figured I should share with them. I can't share with everybody with, you know, just at least they can hear it. I'm not going to like pass
and
my spoon around.
And you're always right next to me.
It does kind of work
and,
out like that.
And you're left-handed, so you're on the right of me, left-handed, I'm right-handed.
It's very awkward. The open mouth chewing, the forced conversation, like, you know, that's just not
but
the way
I love you. I just don't always
What
like
you need
it.
To do is you get to the restaurant a few minutes ahead of time and have like little place cards with names,
I know.
And then I'm across from you, and then that won't happen.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to take a break. We have to take a break right now, Paulie says. We have to. 23 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Imagine the happiest you've ever been. Well, that'd mean being away from Todd. Now double it.
Really?
Well, that's what it's like to eat a Built Bar. Now, I said these are good for you. These are protein bars, and I'd rather you ate this than, you know, have a sub on the way home or whatever, bagels and all of that
stuff. That's reasonable.
Yes. And I said they're guilt-free. 130 calories guilt-free. There's 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs guilt-free. Built Bar is... Now, not just good for a protein bar, it's great for a protein bar, but it's great for a candy bar as well.
And they got all these flavors. It's like more than Baskin-Robbins ice cream.
No, that's not true. There's 18 flavors.
It's still a lot of flavors for a bar.
18 flavors, coconut almond, mint brownie. They got the peanut butter, chocolate chip.
Raspberry, apple, crisp, you name them. They got like every color of the rainbow.
You're going to love it. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP. You'll get 20% off your order. Promo code DP at BuiltBar.com. You're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It is a Meat Friday. Bring some wood-fired cheer to the holidays. Traeger Wood Pellet Grill. We used it for Thanksgiving. It was great. Get free shipping when you enter the code Dan at checkout. Head to TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. Start shopping or find a dealer near you. I just had a Titans fan send me. I don't know what it is. I bring out either the best or worst in Titans fans. Hey, by the way, since now I'm reading into what they sent, this might be how they sent it. Hey, by the way, since Ryan Tannehill took over at Tennessee as their quarterback week 7 of last season, Titans are averaging 30 points a game, third in the NFL behind only New Orleans and Baltimore, ! All right. Well, congratulations. You guys got a good team. You got a good game plan here. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the season. Scott Hansen, NFL Network's NFL Red Zone host, and they will celebrate the 200th show this weekend. Fans can watch all 7 hours of live football and see every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons throughout the regular season. And Scott joining us after, of course, the busy schedule that he has where he works one day a week And Scott joins us now on the program. Congratulations on approaching 200 episodes of NFL Red Zone.
Dan, I appreciate it. Thank you. I tuned in the last segment.
Uh-oh.
And I heard you guys talking about bladder integrity and that 200 episodes was just a good year for you on SportsCenter. I thought I was late. I thought I missed my slot here. You're playing my song.
All right. How often do you go to the bathroom over a 7-hour period?
Zero times. I've taken one bathroom break in the last probably 8-plus years. This is season 12 of NFL Red Zone, and I took one bathroom break, and I was playing hurt that day, so I had an excuse. But nope, I do not go to the bathroom for all 7 hours.
I would like to see a best bladder competition with you and Andrew Siciliano.
So I think Siciliano told me he takes breaks. I think he does take one break a show, but I'm sure he'll have him on and he can tell you that for sure. I thought you were going to say me and Kuiper, because Kuiper's obviously famous or infamous for never going to the bathroom during the first round of the NFL draft. So,
but I wonder though, isn't it interesting where people will, I'm going to guess that's one of the top questions that you're asked about your job.
You hit it 100%. There's not a day that goes by. People want to talk about me, the Iron Bladder. That's my fantasy football. My fantasy team name is the Iron Bladders. More than they want to talk football with me. And I think it's because of this, Dan. It's everybody can relate to it. Millions of people watch NFL Red Zone. They sit down with their beverages and their snacks. They're all fired up. We get through the first 2 or 3 hours and nature calls for everybody. They get up from their couch. They don't want to because we don't do commercials. So they think the next great touchdown could be right around the corner, but they eventually give in, get up, go to the bathroom, come back. And I'm still talking. And they're like, well, when does this guy take a pee? And everyone is fascinated by it. And everyone, Dan, comes up to me and thinks they're the first person that's ever asked me, hey, you know, me and my wife watch the show and we wonder, when do you take a leak? They all think they're the first one. So I try and humor everyone. It's my career has been reduced to the man with the most bladder integrity on national television.
I also wondered about this when you're doing your job, you know, because we would get criticized on SportsCenter because of the highlights we would pick. They thought Keith Olbermann and I picked the highlights. And then they'd get upset or, hey, you never show us in a positive light. You don't show longer highlights with us like you do the Yankees or the Red Sox. What kind of criticism do you get on the Red Zone with highlights, the frequency, and the length?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that because I thought we were the only ones. There's, look, 7 hours, commercial-free football, every touchdown from every game. There's a lot to like, right? And everyone loves it by and large. But if there's a negative to it, it's we have done our jobs so well, I think, that we have spawned a generation of wannabe television executives because everybody thinks they know where we're supposed to be at the moment that we're supposed to be there. And everyone thinks their team is getting slighted. And everyone thinks that, you know, I hate this team or I hate that team or whatever. And I'm like, guys, no one in the country wants to show you more football than the guy you're listening to right now. Trust me on that. And the thing is, they're watching NFL Red Zone. I'm watching 8-9 games at the same time. So they've got to trust us to make the decision. I'm so glad that you said you guys got that grief on SportsCenter because it's the one negative that I hear. And I'm like, you're not going to miss anything. Trust us. You're not going to miss it.
Give me the fan base that makes you a little nervous.
You want me to name names here? Okay, the big ones, right? The Dallas Cowboy fans always think one way or another, you know, and I love the Cowboys like I love all 32 teams. The New England Patriots have gotten a little entitled through the years, I think. The New England Patriots, yeah, the fans, they've gotten a little entitled, which is kind of funny because Tom Brady told me a few Super Bowls ago, he told me when he's on the bye or he's playing on Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football or Wednesday afternoon football, he watches NFL Red Zone when he's not playing on Sunday. And he says he loves it. And I'm like, you guys, if it's good enough for Tom, it should be good enough for y'all.
The challenge of this year, given interchangeable lineups, you know, just trying to figure out, you think this game's on a Sunday, now it's on a Monday or Tuesday. Like, how has this year been different for you?
Yeah, well, look, with COVID, we've had to change things, like you guys have had to change things, like we've all had to change our lives. So imagine this, Dan, you know, you've lived in TV your whole life. We have a control room to produce NFL Red Zone. And, you know, those people sit in there elbow to elbow. We can't do that anymore. We've had to spread out to multiple control rooms throughout the NFL media campus. And people that are normally used to the director and technical director sitting right next to each other, the producer sitting right close there, where they've got that immediate, instant communication, they're now in different parts of the building wearing headsets, talking to each other, talking to me. And hopefully the production hasn't dropped off much. But if it hasn't, it's a testimony to our amazing technical crew that is the best in the business for my money.
Do you have an understudy?
You know, people have asked me that because I'm taking a COVID test once a week right now. And if all of a sudden I get put to the shelf, who goes in? They do have someone. We had an earthquake. So we do the show in Los Angeles. We had an earthquake during, it was the preseason one time. And they're like, well, what if an earthquake hit and it knocked us off? Like, what would happen? And they told me they have someone, I don't even know exactly who, but they have someone at NFL Films in New Jersey that could take over if it was like a Los Angeles problem. And if it was a Scott problem, whatever, I'm on the shelf for some reason. They have someone in Los Angeles they could put in. Hopefully I never find out their identity.
He's Scott Hansen, NFL Network's NFL Red Zone host, and coming up this weekend, the 200th show. You can watch all 7 hours of live football, and that'll be Sunday afternoons throughout the regular season. Who do people say you look like?
Okay, so you guys were just talking about him a second ago. Ryan Tannehill, some people say.
Okay.
Now, I'm way older, and he's way better looking, but some people say Ryan Tannehill.
Okay, I see that.
He has his head shaved a lot, and one time I shaved my head. It was a benefit for pediatric cancer. And when I shaved my head, my girlfriend at the time took a photo of me, and we did a side by side with Ryan Tannehill, and it was not too far off.
See,
but he's better looking and much younger.
I see Stifler from American Pie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I could see a little Stifler there.
Okay, you know. You're the first person to ever tell me that. I'll take it. I'll take that as a compliment. They had good numbers on the American Pie series.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did quite well. We've all had those moments. We had there's nothing higher than the highs that you get in broadcasting. And, you know, I've talked about some of the things I've been able to do in my career. But then the lowest of lows, how that hits you. Like, if you had that lowest of lows during a broadcast where you went, oh, my God. And you can't, the camera doesn't blink. Like, you're there and you got to do it and you got to keep going. And, you know, you don't get to go, I'm going to go home now. Have you had that moment where you go, what did I just do?
I've had two, and one was this season. I mean, because look, I'm doing 7 hours live television, all ad-libbed, right? And I saturate my brain with stats, facts, figures, storylines, quotes, everything during the week to be as prepared for Sunday as I possibly can. But when we get on live, we're winging it. So I'm dispensing probably thousands, if not tens of thousands of pieces of information per show. I'm going to screw up. I'm a human. I want my free throw percentage to be around 99.8, but I'm going to mess up. The other day, it was 2-3 weeks ago, Ronald Jones from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got a run, and I called him LeGarrette Blunt. Now, he's wearing 27. He's grown his hair out. He's playing for the Buccaneers, and my lizard brain somehow flashed back to like 3 years ago. And then I'm like, oh no. I go, no. I'm sorry. That's Leonard Fournette. And then I go like this, and my spotter looks at me like, and I'm like, yeah, it's Rojo. It's the main back who's been running for them for the last, like, basically 2 years. And I just wanted to cringe. I just wanted to die.
But explain your spotter, like the whole setup you have, because, you know, play-by-play guy will have a spotter, but you have how many monitors, and then you have a spotter, a stat guy, probably a director or producer in your ear?
Yeah. So, well, with COVID, we've had to pare things down as well. There are only three people in the studio with me. There is the camera's robotic, and it's actually in a locked down position. So we don't have a camera operator. There's no one else allowed in. The stage manager comes in when she needs to do her job. But I've got a researcher and a spotter. They both kind of interchange, but they're sitting socially distant apart. But they'll feed me, you know, I'm not keeping tabs on, oh, Patrick Mahomes has 243 yards passing in the first half. They'll feed me something when I need to know it. And they can do it. We have wax boards. They'll write it on a wax board and throw it up there. They'll put something up on their laptop and point to the name if I don't recognize the player who made the play. Or sometimes they'll just mouth it to me. They'll be like, you know, Tyreek Hill. I mean, hopefully it's not Tyreek Hill. I recognize him readily, but they'll give me something. Hopefully it doesn't bleed onto my microphone. But I know a bit about football, but I'm not completely on lockdown with every stat, fact, and roster and depth chart, especially in COVID days. So I'm so thankful for those guys. Tim Gilyanins and Brian Larrivee, who's Wayne Larrivee's son, the great play-by-play guy for the Green Bay Packers. Those are my right-hand men.
Well, congrats, Scott. Been a great run for you guys. 200th episode coming up this weekend, the NFL Red Zone. And thanks for joining us.
Dan, good to be with you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys Sunday.
That is Scott Hansen. See, Scott won't see us, but we'll see Scott. See, Scott, you screwed up. Ryan Tannehill, but I still think Stifler from – Paulie, did you see Stifler?
Great call, Dan. Because
thank
he
you.
Actually has – is it Sean William Scott?
Sean William
Stifler?
Scott. Sean
the
with two N's.
Right. The great thespian who played Stifler. He actually has a little bit of Stifler in his voice, too, which is a compliment. Strong voice.
And I can see the Ryan Tannehill there, but like Sean with two N's. I always had a problem with that. What's Stifler been doing, by the way? You guys seen Stifler in anything? Yeah, Paulie?
Since you mentioned the two N's thing, I had a gym teacher when I was really young, and his name is Ken, K-E-N, and he went and had it legally changed to K-E-N-N, and he actually told the school, like, when you put me in the yearbook this year, it's K-E-N-N, and I've been wanting to ask about it for years. When you're in eighth grade, you can't really ask your teacher, what do you think?
Ken.
And it costs money, but fascinating.
Ken. Yes, McLovin.
Well, that's close to Thom or Jeff with a G. I mean, that's it.
G off talking about here. Or Thom. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. What this has been a strange hour. Yes, Todd.
I think Sean William Scott was in a movie recently with Keanu Reeves in the past year or so called Almost Gone. I'm looking to find out what that's all about.
Almost Gone.
But they were in something together.
Huh.
As far as what he's up to these days.
Okay.
Well, I'll keep an eye on that.
Yep. Thank you, Todd. Well, we'll come back with your phone calls. And coming up in the final hour of the program, Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1's First Things First. He was a big hit last time he was on. Back after this in the program. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Todd is sending me tweets that he's received. You want me to read these?
Sure, why not?
Are they all positive ones for you? Frank Murphy tweets, I truly enjoy watching you guys interact with one another. The jibes, the laughter, the back and forth between you all brings so many smiles and laughs to me personally and countless others. I'm certain these crazy COVID lockdown days, you are a bright light. Okay. Here's Matthew Green. Let me know when the I love you, but I don't like you merch is on sale. And my debit card will be getting a workout. Thanks, DP Show and Brooklyn Fritzy. This comment can be used with many people. All right. I love you, but I don't like you. Here's John Wareham. I love you and Dan together in the studio banter stuff. For the record, you and I would talk constantly if we worked together. Same age, same interest, etc. Here's JD0802. Todd will sit the whole weekend in the man cave with the cone of silence. Todd, I love you. I don't like you. Ultimate cone of silence.
What do you think of that? Sitting here all weekend with the cone of silence on. You'd like that.
No.
You get a kick out of it because we have all the cameras. You can have that rolling all weekend. Oh, no.
What?
What do you mean, what? I'm getting covered by the thing now.
Oh, did I accidentally hit the, the cone of silence? Okay. It's now over your head.
I have about 12 seconds before the panic attacks start.
All right. 11, 10.
Really going to count the full 12.
We're here.
All right, let me go. I'll bring it back up. Man, you're high maintenance.
I didn't think I was claustrophobic, but that bothers me.
I know.
It goes back to that Milwaukee costume.
Oh, when we did the sausage race?
Yeah, Scene does a good good impression of what I was going through.
Got to get me out of here, guys. Getting hot.
Can't breathe. Oh,
my arm doesn't go like that. My arm doesn't go like that. It doesn't go like that.
There
my
are people. There are people a lot smaller than you that were able to get bigger than you, able to get in and out of the costume. That's what. That's the. That's trying to make me feel better. The guy that was in charge.
Yeah,
of the
I had to bend his arm for him.
Oh, like, I know. Yeah, this is how you do it. And this is like a college age kid.
You couldn't understand why I was having problems getting out of that.
Yes, Paulie.
And we always talk about that one, but we rarely give credit to the Traeger Thanksgiving shoot in a rural town in Connecticut. And we were at this old farmhouse, and Todd went in the bathroom, and it had like the bathroom lock kind of went down flat, and you needed to pull and pull it back.
Oh, I couldn't get
it
out.
It just took a little bit of looking at and pulling back. Todd was stuck in the bathroom for over a half
hour. I was trying to reach you guys. I was getting poor signal service. I put the phone up to the window, which was locked.
He was texting different people that worked with us. He was texting people who weren't even on the property.
There was no doorknob or anything on there. I closed it, and it just like became flat, like part of the wall. So it was just you wouldn't even know you were in the bathroom. It just became part of the whole wall.
He'd still be there. One of our guys didn't get him out.
It was like a Get Smart kind of moment. I'm like, I can't get out of this bathroom. And they don't even know that I'm stuck here. I'm screaming. The window's closed. No one could even hear me in here.
Although, I'm going to be honest here.
Oh, here we go.
No, I knew you were stuck in there.
Oh, we all knew.
And I didn't react.
Why would you do that?
That house had been there since 1823.
I've never heard of such a thing, that you don't have a doorknob or anything that looks like a way to push something.
You finished second in your graduating class.
I memorized a lot of stuff and spit it back in essays and the multiple choice questions.
Do you realize there are people who use that bathroom for 200 years?
I found out after the fact that they said they should have put a little warning on it for us being the first time there, that there was like a special way to get out of there.
First time warning. Jeff in Detroit joins us, then we'll take a break. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on, Dan? It's funny that you guys are talking about this. My grandfather had a big old house, and he had a hidden bathroom for the longest that nobody knew about. He would disappear in the basement and behind this wall, and come to find out he had like this hidden bathroom in the basement that the kids were never allowed to use. Probably one of the funniest things of my childhood.
I like it.
Listen. My question to you is this. Has there ever been a time on the Dan Patrick Show that you guys have just totally lost it and had to go off camera? I can remember McLovin with the tiny helmets, and it's funny because Todd's son was actually a little boy, and now he's in college. I've been with you guys a long time, but the tiny helmet and Seton just lost it.
Yeah.
I mean, snot bubbles flowing over where.
You guys got to – thank you, Jeff. You know, when McLovin had the little helmets that were Todd's son's helmets, and they fell off, and then just the look on Todd's face. And
they're rolling under furniture. I'm trying to collect them because he knows. He goes, where's the Falcon? If I bring that, not the whole setback, forget about it.
That was pretty funny. That was. I think we all lost it that day because McLovin was trying so hard to have show and tell, and Todd is just panicking.
Dad, I can't find the bills. I know. Andrew.